is the Polgov Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me. Make sales a priority. Make sales a priority. Very easy bump in revenue. The mindset is usually that sales isn't needed because it's healthcare. I'm not sure there's anything that sells itself. I'm not sure there's anything that sells itself. I wrote a book about 4 years ago called The New Patient Accelerator, and in it I spoke about the concept, the principle, that healthcare is a grudge purchase, and it is. We just don't want to accept that it is because we love it and we think that people love it as much as us. People will typically put off their health in favor of all things, Netflix included, meals included, holidays included. Investing in their health is not something that the typical individual wants to do. And because of that, sales has to be a prerequisite in our companies. It's deemed as non-essential. It's seen as non-essential by the public. It's definitely a grudge purchase. Are we good? It's not coming through, guys. There we go. All right. And what I mean by non-essential, it gets done when patients get round to it. That's the definition of non-essential. You and I know that these patients don't go to bed on a Sunday and think, I need to call the physio tomorrow. I will call the physio tomorrow, and then they don't do it. Flights are non-essential, which is why we put off doing it. I'll get round to booking that flight. Have you booked that flight yet? No, I'll do it tomorrow. The phrase to never forget, another Paulism, what gets done anytime often gets done no time. Anything that can be put off for later probably will be. And that's the mindset that most of your patients are in. We take our health for granted. We were taught as kids, go to bed, wake up tomorrow, the pain will be gone. And when we were seven, it was. By the time we're 45 and 50, a little bit more arthritis in the body, obviously not quite as quick to turn around. So it's definitely non-essential, which is why I would make sales a priority in the company. This is where it gets practical for you. You've got to have at least one world-class person in the company on the phone. If you think about your company right now today, who have you got that you think, if all we could do, if my entire income or revenue depended on only being able to get patients through phone calls, have I got somebody that I go to bed tonight and go, we're going to be all right? If all I could do was make gas calls, if all I could do was follow up with leads that came in, I was given a bunch of leads and all I was ever allowed to do was follow up, would I be safe? Would my income survive? Would my bills get paid? If you haven't got somebody in your phone who is at least one who is world class on the phone, I think you've got to start making a bit of a plan to find somebody and make it a priority. And then everybody else in the company would have to be more than comfortable with the sales culture that would require weekly training around objections, problems, challenges, situations in the office that were happening. So sales would have to become a priority in the business. Number eight, a culture of training and accountability. What gets measured gets improved, but what gets measured and made visible improves exponentially. Culture, as I see it, isn't perks, it isn't sleep pods, it's not bring your dog to work days. I like dogs, but to me, the office shouldn't be, and if you want to do that, that's cool, but the office shouldn't be defined in terms of its culture because that happens. That's the point I'm trying to raise. I've got nothing against a sleep pod. I've got nothing against taking dogs to work. I've got nothing against pizzas on a Friday. I've got nothing against taking people for bowling, taking them to the tavern, taking them out for drinks. That's not culture, not even close to culture. That's where it's getting confused. Culture is ultimately the standards, the accountability that you set. We had a few issues in this company a few months back. And one of the team said, have we let the culture slip? I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not, because the accountability is still there. We're still a results-driven organization. We're still holding people accountable. What we had was a couple of people with emotional issues. Didn't like certain things that we were doing. That didn't mean that the culture was bad. They reacted negatively, as I saw it, to situations in the company that they didn't like. That's fine. It was time for them to move on. But we certainly didn't have a negative culture. We didn't have a bad culture, because my definition of culture is the standards that we set. The accountability, the scorecards, the check-in, the results. Results never got affected one dot through the period of time where we had a few staff members that needed to leave. There was a few bits of emotional outbursts, and there's a few dramas, and there's a few things that were a bit pathetic, if I'm honest. However, none of this got affected, and it showed up in the results that it didn't get affected. So the culture was strong. I'd argue that the people that left did so because the culture was strong, because they didn't like the things that we were doing. That makes sense? So again, a real critical understanding of the problem, the diagnosis that you've got to be able to give. If you don't get the diagnosis right, you're changing the business constantly. So I put it to you, when we had those dramas, those outbursts, and when you guys get it, it doesn't mean that the culture's wrong. It just might mean you've got the wrong people who are not appropriate for the culture that you want to create. It doesn't mean you stop your scorecards. It doesn't mean you stop the outcome-based. It doesn't mean you stop the, we need this result, or we need this to happen. But it definitely isn't going to be improved with pizzas and pinball, whatever, putting a ping pong table in and all that type of stuff. That's not what small business is about. All of that's a happy byproduct. The reason that mostly of my businesses, that across the course of it, I could honestly tell you that 99% of the time, I don't really have that many cultural drama, emotional outbursts, and wrong fits, if you like, with staff. There's people whose time's up and they need to leave, but it nearly always ends very respectfully. It's because we've created an environment of success. People come into my world and it's a successful organization, and they know that from the get-go. They're coming into a world where people are used to having success. We're used to filling up rooms. We're used to filling out webinars. We're used to selling courses. We're used to hitting our targets. These are the things that ultimately, I think, just press that again for his guys. I think it's ultimately how the current members set the example for what is expected and tolerated from new members. That's culture. It's how the current members set the examples for what is expected and tolerated from anybody coming through the doors. So the current members, they tell the new members what you will accept and what you will tolerate. And as you start the business, and if many of you are in the infancy of the 3 to 5, the 5 to 10 space in your office, now is the time to set your stamp on the company. Now is the time to set your standards, what you'll tolerate, what you won't tolerate, timekeeping, use of social media, slop, office, whatever it is that's you think's going to be important. Because as the business gets bigger, if that isn't there in the early part, when you start to pull away from that kind of day-to-day, you need 3, 4, 5 people in that company always who have the DNA that you put into that business, that they'll pass on to the next person and the next person and the next person. We've put 5 or 6 people into this company in the last 2 months, and they're currently being told how to behave by the people who are already there. These are the standards that Paul will tolerate. This is what he will, this is what he won't. This is how far, there's wiggle room everywhere. As soon as you go too far, he'll go to Mars, basically, which I would if it goes too far. I'll pick my battles, but the day I need to go to Mars, I'll probably go there very, very quickly if I see it. So, I think really at the root of toxic cultures, again, under the banner of me coming into your business, toxic cultures happen because of a lack of any accountability or training. You cannot be successful if you're not training. You can't do it. Like, I don't know any organization anywhere in the world. It defies human nature that there's nothing that isn't growing constantly or isn't designed to grow constantly. So if we're not training, we're not talking. And sometimes you don't realize how simple it is. It can be a half an hour conversation, a 40-minute conversation once a week, where you pick a scenario, something that happened in the week, and you role play it. And you light the office up. You can light the room up when you give them an insight into why that happened, how to manage it better. Here's what's going to happen next time. You're giving them so much confidence and so much. I said this recently, and as I evolve, I understand my distinctions better of what we're doing. I used to say I'm in the people development business. I don't know if I am anymore. I think I'm in the character development business, not Mickey Mouse type character development business. I'm in the resilience business. And more, I believe that that's the thing. As I look for my staff now, anybody that comes into my world, have they got resilience? Can they get their heart broken a few times? Can they make a few mistakes and get back up? Can they deal with one of you being a bit abrupt and be all right with it? In my physio business, can they deal with a little bit of a rejection from a physio, from a patient who cancels, from a patient who didn't like what they said, from a complaint that was made, a bad review? Can they deal with that? That's what I look for now with all of my staff, their character and their resilience. And in that respect, I personally, as the CEO of a group of companies, I'm really in the character building business. If I can get people with good characters, who are strong, confident, they've got a little bit of resilience, a little bit about themselves, I can pretty much do anything in business. Because the thing that'll kill them, the thing that stops the business, and the thing that stops the person from really being the ultimate version, you take it all the way back to self-acceptance. That they really haven't accepted themselves yet. And what I have to, I can't get them to do that, but I've got to try and create an environment which promotes that, which it makes it more likely that we do talk about scenarios and we do go into situations where complaints are made or people are not happy or customers might say certain things. How are you going to deal with that? That's the character building side of it that I think more and more I realize is my job. Two or three out of 10 would probably hand their notice in within 24 hours of me walking into your office, if not more. I'm probably being conservative there. And that's all right. That's all right. I come from a place always. It's never, ever about the thing at the other end for me. And I think it gives me a unique advantage over most situations because I'm not attached to outcomes. This has never been for me win at all costs. It's never been a labor of love. It's not been a thing that I want to create at the end as a trophy that somebody's going to give me and say I was successful, and in which case I have to get and accept a load of shit from people. Even, dare I say it, building the community. It's like, this is if I'm giving up a week with my kids, I'm sure as shit that I'm coming to a place where I want to be with the people that I'm with. And I take everything back to that. And if I'm giving anybody any time, if I'm doing anything in my company, if I'm bringing any staff in, I sure as shit want to work with somebody that's respectful, wants to back me, wants to be part of my vision, wants to be in this. And I don't care how good you are. I'd rather cut you free because I don't want your success. I don't want your outcomes at any cost. It's got to be that I have a line that I'm willing to go to before I compromise actually what I really believe in and what I'm really trying to do here. And I think that's something for you to think through. Sometimes it's win at all costs for some of you, right? And you don't realize it's happening and you're willing to give up a piece of yourself to get a slice of a pie that's not very nice anyway. You get it? That I'll tolerate this stuff from these people and I'll accept this shit from these people and they might leave me and they might go on Glassdoor and leave me a bad review and it's like, who gives a shit? And because even if like you didn't do that, what was the alternative? Well, the alternative was that you fucking stayed in my life for 3 years and I went to work with a miserable bastard for 3 fucking years. And every night I went home and fought with Natalie, didn't enjoy my kids, didn't switch off on a weekend, got to bed on Sunday night having had a bottle of wine because I knew I was facing fucking a dragon the next day because I didn't have the balls to get rid of that person. You're laughing. This is happening all day, every day in business. Every day. To some of you in this room, many of you online, and definitely all around the world in quote-unquote normal businesses, this is the default. And you don't realize what that does to your life. And this is the point I'm trying to raise to you more and more on all of my calls and in these masterminds. You're the asset. And if we don't get the conditions and the environment right for you to be the best version of Kevin or Jack or Sasha or Brad, if we don't get that right, you're compromised at every level. And if you're compromised at the level, you ain't making good decisions. There's no strength, there's no resilience, there's no character, there's no patience for the bad times, I keep saying it. There's no energy for the bad times. There's no energy to fucking love the good times left because it's all being used and drained on situations that really, when all is said and done, you created because you tolerated them. So I think some of you have got to get a bit of resilience and a bit of character and a bit of balls and a bit of I'm willing to let this person go because I'm willing to deal with the consequences of this person. Because the consequences of them staying are actually worse than the consequences of them going. Just not in the bullshit society that we live in where we think that the prize at the end is money or it's a glamorous lifestyle or whatever it will be. And again, Nobody take that the wrong way. I want the glamorous lifestyle. I want you to have the glamorous lifestyle. I want you to have the big fucking bank account at the other end. But don't look in it when you're having a heart attack and you've been stressed for the last 20 years. You haven't seen your kids. You've gone home every night and you're pretending you're with them, but you're worried like shit about what's going on in the business. Or you're arriving at work every day, spending 9 hours a day with people who see the world, I'll be polite, in a very different way to you. I think it's criminal to go through your life like that. I really do. That you're not going to be brave enough to make one or two decisions for fear of how it might help, affect you at the surface level of life, which is irrelevant. And yet you're willing to compromise yourself at the internal level of life where all the magic happens. Every ounce of the magic happens at the internal. No matter what it is that you've got, there's guys with $1 million sat in the bank, miserable as shit. There's guys with $25 million sat in the bank, hanging themselves, depressed. There's absolutely no correlation. Now, I agree it gives you more opportunities, but I'm not so sure that it's win at all costs that you're willing to give up all of these things. So if two or three are going to go, start the car and put them in it. I'll call you the Uber on my account. In fact, I'll get you an Uber XL. Have a nice, comfortable ride on the way home. Do you want me to stop at the pizza shop and send you on your way? And I mean it with respect. I think it's a great decision if these two or three or these four would leave. For them, as much as it is for me. And if you're ever in any doubt about that, that's the place to come from. I'm good. I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you're leaving. There's no emotion here. Because this is not going to be a place that you're going to enjoy wanting to be. You're not going to get in on a Sunday night into bed and think, I cannot wait to go there tomorrow. So you have to leave. I think this is how you create the winners that you're looking for. Accountability and training will weed out people who do not want to be successful. Now look, some people are very happy just to come in and do a job, and you need that in certain organizations, in fact, every organization. Not everybody is going to be as enthusiastic as you about training, about development. And by the way, you don't need them to be. But if you put this into the culture where people are kept to standards, you let the ones rise up that want to rise up and go with you, and you let the ones out the door who want to leave.
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com, where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at the Paul Gough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.